Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero, and I'd like to give thanks to Don Newsom at BBS Radio for being such a wonderful platform for Spiritual Hollywood, where we get to make a difference and raise consciousness through media. Tonight I have as my guest Lee Taylor Young, who is just a fabulous actress, legend, I would like to think. That's my opinion. Emmy Award winning actress. And if you will remember her from the early 60s in the series Peyton Place, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. And also on up into the 90s to Picket Fences, she's a film star, a Broadway star, a humanitarian, a mom, a grandmother. And your latest role, Lee, was in Spiritual Warriors. And without further ado, I would like to bring on Lee Taylor Young. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Lee.
Well, I'm delighted you asked me. Thank you. I love being here.
Yes, wonderful. So what I'm really, really excited about is many, many things. And the more I find like-minded people in Hollywood, let's say, or in the film industry, who are really, really of high consciousness quality people, the more excited I become, because there is a gathering taking place that has a momentum that can't be stopped, and there is a lot to be excited about in this day and age. And I'd like for you to, if you wouldn't mind elaborating a little bit on your latest film role. If I'm not mistaken, it was Spiritual Warriors?
Yes, it was.
Wonderful. And that was based on the book by John Roger?
Yes. John Roger wrote a book called Spiritual Warrior.
Mm-hmm. And it was adapted by J.Su Garcia?
Yes.
And he also stars in that film and produced it as a labor of love.
A labor of great love. I witnessed every step of the labor.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And he took a second unit over to Egypt and Jordan and Syria and just raised the money by himself and turned every single no into a yes, and did that with such heartfelt passion that he defied everyone who said no. And pretty much everybody came on board to make sure that this baby was born.
That's right. I actually, that was so exquisitely said, I couldn't do better. That's right.
Oh, wonderful. And it was also directed by David Rayner, is that correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I have not yet seen Spiritual Warriors, and I'm really looking forward to the time that I get to. And the role that you played in this was not your typical lighthearted goodness, kindness kind of person. It was more of a role where you had to express the shadow side. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And how was that for you?
I'm an actress, and, you know, I learned long ago, I once had a spiritual teacher before John Roger, who has been my primary teacher for 35 years. But prior to that, I had a beautiful number of years with Muktananda. And I was young and impassioned with the idea of, as an actress, representing inspiration, only inspirational things. And he took me aside and said, you know, it's all God's creation, and you're a reflector as an actress to God's creation. And because you hold the energy of a focus on God, go play a murderess, go play all kinds of colors in the creation, and just hold internally the focus on spirit, on God, and let that energy go out through whatever the role is. So I'm being a bit long-winded, but I must say, here I am with all my beloveds, because J.Su is like my brother, John Roger is my teacher, and it's got an incredible message, this movie, about soul, that we are souls having a human experience, and his ability to actually put on film soulic experiences, I think, is very, very innovative and wonderful. And I just applied that teaching of Muktananda's, because I would have much preferred to have played a more lighthearted character amongst the people I love the most, but I was given this job to represent another field of energy, just like you have antagonist, protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, I was symbolic of the antagonist. I just played it with every ounce of the human experience in me that understands what is dark.
Yes, and I'm sure you played it with integrity and with an innocence that and a charm, because anybody who's of the dark side, or especially, and I haven't seen the film, and I dare not call the role you played a villainous, but even if it were to play that kind of role with a charm and a likability and an innocence, is a wonderful way to get people to pay attention to that, because there is all those elements in the darker side, just as there are darker sides to the lightness.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to see it. And what was the name of the role you played?
I don't think she has a name. She has a function. She doesn't really have a name. You don't ever hear her referred to by a name.
And you would be giving something away if you told us about that.
I think so.
Okay, then we'll just hold off on that. And where can anybody see Spiritual Warriors? Where may we see it?
Well, what I would suggest is go to Spiritual Warriors, and that's with an S at the end, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably be where you could find the most current showing. They're going to have a showing in San Francisco the end of July 29th.
Mm-hmm.
There are other showings planned. I don't have the whole thing, but I think the better thing to do, since they are often posted on the website, that would be the thing to do, to go to www.spiritualwarriors.com.
Very, very good. And while we're giving out websites, I would like our listeners to go ahead and log on to Lee's website, which is a very easy one to remember. It's www.lty.com, and it is probably the most thoughtful website that I've come across in a long time.
Thank you.
Oh, you just so really, I see your hand in it. I know somebody just didn't throw that together for you. I see that it's done with thoughtfulness and caring, and it's answering questions before they're asked, and it's speaking to people from your heart to their heart, and that's really what I got when I saw that website.
Well, gosh, you couldn't make me happier, because really that was... The story behind doing it, since I had mentioned to you earlier that self-promotion is not my strong suit, I
understand completely.
Give me my work, you know,
yeah.
And there you have it. But what did occur to me is that actors, and this was published actually in September of 97, which for individual actors to actually do full-on websites was still very new. There were a few, but it wasn't as it is today. I mean, the quantum leaps and everything since 1997, hard to believe, is so enormous because it's just 10 years. But I decided what I wanted to do was reach to a public that never gets to talk to me, reach to a public that, you know, may only receive impressions of me through PR, through things of that nature, but not a direct way of me expressing myself to a public at large.
Yes.
I mean, the advantage that you know, people know me, but I may not have the opportunity to know them. So I thought, well, if they know me, I'd rather they know me from my mouth, if you will, from my voice, than someone who's going to represent me. And more often than not, as all people know who are actors, etc., we're seldom represented as we are. So I thought, well, I'll write all the stories, short of the articles that are interviews that I did, or pretty much that, I wrote everything.
And then about your cat, Lucky?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful.
That was one of my anecdotes amongst many.
Wonderful, wonderful. Such nice little thumbnails of you the person rather than you the celebrity, and that's what everybody's hungry for.
Well, it's certainly my preference of how to express myself in life. I'm not much for... I think the most interesting thing about people is who they genuinely are, not kind of, I don't know, representations of who they are or myths of who they are. I mean, we have enough of that out there. So
right.
That was my intention. I never for a minute, really, genuinely, it was like a hobby. It was like a project.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that I would have the kind of response that I would have. But over the years, I've just really had a remarkable... And for the first 4 years of having it, I answered every email. And
oh, my gosh.
I just couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, I understand.
Needless to say.
Mm-hmm.
And but occasionally I do when I can. But
mm-hmm.
it's just been a very nice thing to know that it needs to be updated, because as you can see when you do look at it, since pretty much 2000, I really haven't written a lot.
Well, I'd love to see something on there more about Spiritual Warriors, and a little more or a lot more on there about your work with John Roger, and he is your favorite teachers, and I know that when you went to India you had others, but I feel like, Lee, that I've lived in a cave, because it wasn't until my partner and I sat down with Keith Malinsky from Spiritually Speaking that I heard about John Roger. I think he was somewhere in my consciousness, but I wasn't ready to yet find out more about him, and I was just, as soon as it came out of his mouth, I said, oh my gosh, tell me more, and I started taking notes and notes and notes and notes, and I just really am excited to meet John and to go and hear him speak, and I've looked at his website. It's everything that my knower knows to be true, and it is such truth and such higher consciousness thinking, and such, it's clearly, it resonates as truth, and truth is truth, and you're going to know it no matter where it comes from. And to have a chance to and an opportunity to see Spiritual Warriors, the film that's based on the book by John Roger, Spiritual Warrior, can only be probably one of the best film experiences I could have, because in stumbling across his website and his teachings, I feel like I've just found home. I'm home. It just feels very, very complete.
Well, that is the thing that, it's interesting you use that phrase, because in, 1975, when I was introduced first to a tape of John Rogers, I was very, very involved with Muktananda, who was a glorious, truly glorious, Siddha master, and dearly loved him, and I'm very loyal when I'm committed, and sort of like the one guru woman kind of thing. And when I was given a tape of John Rogers, someone had actually mentioned him to me and had been for a couple of years, and I kept saying, no, I'm, you know, it was very tunnel visioned. But I listened to three of them in a row one night, and I ended up at 4 in the morning walking up and down a street in L.A. called Benedict Canyon, saying to myself, this man is telling the truth. Now, that doesn't on any level discount that Muktananda was not telling me the truth, because he was.
Yes.
His whole thing was, you know, God resides in you as you.
Yes.
And, I mean, if that were just the simplest of his messages, that's the greatest truth. And John Roger actually took this to a greater degree for me, and undoubtedly part of it was a number of things. One was John Roger spoke English and Baba was translated. Baba was founded or grounded in Hinduism, which was a religion I grew up with, not as my religion, but India was my second culture growing up, so it was all very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But John Roger spoke of things that, I mean, I just said this, and the words I used to myself, this is home. I've come home. And I've never felt otherwise. The first thing John Roger said to me when we met physically, which was very soon thereafter, was, check out everything I say, and if it's true for you, use it for your upliftment, your growth, your advancement.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not true for you, if it does not work for you when you check it out, then have the wit to move on. You know, and so this kind of remarkable open door of freedom very much resonated with me, because I've never been a joiner by nature.
Mm-hmm.
I like freedom. I want to find my spirit, not without guidance, not, you know, willfully, but I want to not be forced or directed or required. I want to discover.
Yes.
And he offered that kind of discovery with such a truth and simplicity. And I have to say, after, you know, whatever, 32, 33 years later, I have continued to check it out, and I have never felt that I have anywhere else to go, because he turns it so onto you, inside of you, to rise into soul consciousness through your own inner practice, to where you become your own guru to yourself through the nature of your relationship with your soul, with God. And he's what I call a way shower. He is a light, he's one who turns on the light switch that's already in you.
Yes.
But he reflects to you that which you, as you said it so well, that which you already know. But, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, truth is truth and people will know it, but most of us, are cluttered with an awful lot of mind talk, mental kind of addictive patternings, emotional reactivities, and that muddies the waters in terms of the ability to sometimes recognize what the voice of truth is. So part of the journey is beginning to say to yourself, well, what voice am I listening to? What truth am I listening to? Because there are degrees of that truth. And to me, the ultimate truth is when you get to your true recognition of your divinity, and you don't have it all the time. We're human. We're here in this human experience. Sometimes we're very down. Sometimes we're thinking negatively. We're reacting negatively. It's to be forgiven and move on. It's part of the human experience. But you just keep returning your focus and your practice to that which keeps awakening you within. And no one outside of you is really going to do it. I mean, teachers such as John Roger, I think, are, it would be my opinion to say that he is a gift from God. He is the most in my life, and I've been around many masters and teachers, so I have my reference points. They may not be everybody's, but they're mine, mm-hmm. to give me the opportunity to go, I recognize this as the greater truth. Mm-hmm. It's part of the journey to discern, and discernment is essential, and that's why I think when John Rogers says to you, check it out, he's actually putting it on you to be discerning. Because when you turn yourself toward someone to teach and direct you, especially when it's coming to your spiritual life, you want to be discerning. You want to make sure each step of the way that you keep checking it out, that each step of the way you say, am I resonating to this? Am I clear with this? Is my heart lifted? Is my spirit lifted? Does it say yes inside of me to keep moving forward, to keep moving higher, to keep participating? And it's my opinion that if that thing inside keeps going, I'm eager for this, I'm reaching to this, yes, then you're on a good road.
Yes, and when I saw his website, Lee, I could not even, well, what I was present to more so than anything when I just read the first few lines was an instant jolt of vitality mm-hmm. that has not left me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that kind of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not to put him up on a pedestal, because we shouldn't do that to any person, but to recognize the message that is coming through John, and to be so grateful in that moment of his recognizing that that's a message that needs to get out into the world, and making that his calling and acting on that calling, because many are called and very few answer. And he definitely has answered. And I'm just very excited to learn more and more and more about him. So, and I do see through your bio and the hit that I got from your website, because you and I haven't personally met yet, is that you are very, very solid and grounded in your spirituality and in yourself. And yes, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So we do have these moments where we forget who we are for a moment. But the important thing is what you do with that, and how quick you get back on course, how quick you regenerate moment to moment to moment to moment that divinity that you are once you recognize it. And once you get to a place where you actually can look in your own eyes and say, I love you, and mean it, is when you've arisen at a place that makes it easier to regenerate those moment-by-moment feelings of divinity. And people like him and people like yourself in the film industry really just lights me up personally as a talent manager whose focus is on consciousness, to use Hollywood as a medium to raise consciousness in any way that we can. And Spiritual Warriors is a lovely way to do that. And as you said, you know, you are an actress, you do play roles, and of course we only want to encourage things that are of light and spirituality and this whole thing. But in order to get a strong message out and a strong point made, if you have to play a villainess, you must play her well. And
well, the thing is that, you know, I'm listening very deeply to you, and one of the things that I would suggest is in the spiritual path, it's a human path, and it's a living, breathing path that doesn't have hard and fast rules of shoulds and musts and how it needs to be one thing or another. It is what it is, and it's to be approached, in my opinion, just like you approach life, with as much flexibility, openness, willingness, not being judgmental or placing restrictive ways of how it should be, because you'll get tripped up, because it'll end up showing you that it's something else. So it's to really, if you know, it's not to, is to be cautious of shoulds or how it should be, or things that are too kind of fixated as a way of being spiritual. I think that in my experience, there's a lot more breathing room and flexibility, because, you know, we're in a world of duality. It's good, bad, hot, cold. It's a world that will, if you pull the rubber band too tight in a way it should be, it's automatically going to bounce back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to view it, in my opinion, is to hold to your highest standards, to the best that you can, being a human every single day of your life. Have an enormous largesse of forgiveness for ourselves when we don't meet our standards, because perfectionism doesn't work here. This is not a perfect place. It's never going to be a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit is a place to find the closest thing to what's eternal, to what's perfect, and it's not here. It's in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the ability to carry a kind of portable paradise. So when out here, it's just run at times like what seems like randomnessity, whim, and people being negative. It calls on us every ounce of our willingness to be connected to inside, where we have to be flexible and be allowing for all people around us and their human experience and the way they're doing it. And who knows, they may be doing it in a way that looks dark, if you will, to use an expression, but in fact, it's the very thing that's going to get them to their light. And if I'm viewing them at this moment in time and I judge them as, you know, that's dark, or consider, let's say, even in my consciousness, well, that's dark, I may be just holding them to something that, in fact, is their stepping stone to their growth.
Very good point.
And so those are the kind of things that I think keep us, you know, the human being likes to control. We just love it.
Yes.
It just makes it feel a little bit better here sometimes. But the fact is that we're not in control. So, you know, here we are managing all these things every day. We've got to actually be responsible for our life every day, which is different than control if you look deeply at it, because control has a rigidity and responsibility has responsibility. You have an ability to respond to
mm-hmm.
what's being put in front of you every single day. So it requires, I think, to grow spiritually is it's a gradual process. It's a process that requires the greatest love for ourselves and others, and we're not always going to make it. So what do you do when you don't make it? You said something very beautiful. If you can look in the mirror and say, I love you to yourself and mean it, well, you know what? There's going to be a ton of days where you don't mean it at all, and you just can't get there. But if you nonetheless make the effort to stand and look into your own eyes, and however many times it takes to just begin to tune in, and it may not be that day, but the effort to say, I love you. And another key word that I use when things are not going my way, which is many, many times, learning a technique that JR taught me, which is no matter what's going on in my view of the world or in my own life, to say, I love this. I love this. And there's, see, the world is perfect according to God. We're the ones who have a hard time.
Yes.
So there's a place inside of us where we are God that knows deep in there that it's perfect. So the voice that says, no matter what, whether you feel it or not, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
When things aren't, let's say it's L.A. traffic. That's a great place for me to practice.
Yes, great.
You know, I love this. I'm a half hour late for my meeting. I left an hour and a half ago. I love this. Now, there's something inside of me that actually does know that's true. And it can kind of switch me up. It teaches me to constantly gird up my loins, lift myself up into something that is making a statement. It's like when you look in the mirror and you don't feel it, but you say it nonetheless.
Yes.
And there's something in there that knows it.
Yes.
And you keep doing it until you sort of wipe away the layers that are in the way and going, yeah, I know you love me, but.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep going. Another quality of the spiritual warrior's path is endurance. You know, it's there's a lot of things. As you said it also beautifully earlier, it's like when you go down, just how quickly do you get up? It's not that we're not going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
That's placing something upon us that isn't going to happen. It's the perfectionism. I understand an awful lot about spiritual perfectionism because I have it. And it's a condition that I've had to overcome. And what taught me to really want to overcome it was that I had a lot of disappointment. And the disappointment was I had this gorgeous view of people in the world. And when people did what people did that was not according to this view, I had disappointment. Well, I had to learn a lot about what, you know, give people a lot of space to be who they are. And that it's, you know, it's my business to be who I am. It's not my business that they should be how I want them to be. I mean, you can want it, but if you get stuck there, you get caught in that perfectionism. It has a rigidity to it, and I'm an overcomer of that condition. And it's been a great teacher.
Well, I'm very glad that we got on this conversation because I know the word should that I said is what triggered this conversation, and this conversation right now is helping a lot of people to understand their own way of thinking. And I know that once something becomes dogmatic for me, once it becomes dogmatic, it ceases to be fun. It ceases to lift me up. It ceases to light me up. What you said really wonderfully about having more breathing room than that in spirituality has much more breathing room in it than we really give it credit for. That really spoke to me deeply because to omit the word should from our vocabulary might be a very good idea. Just for the sake of letting go of control and allowing things to be as they are with simply offering some guidance to how you would like it to be, rather than trying to be an oak tree in a typhoon which will break, you're being a willow tree which will bend.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I saw a great bumper sticker that I managed to get, and when I sent back for more, they weren't making them, but it was My God Loves Your God.
Oh, and, I love that.
And I loved it so much because that to me is part of the breathing room.
Yes.
It's, you know, I don't think God's uptight, and I don't think God says should, and I think God breathes in and God breathes out, and we're part of the breath of God, and I don't think there's tension in God's creation. I think there's tension because we get speeded up. We're in a very speeded up world. Should and must are part of, as you said, the control of the world. I just don't think it's very harmonious with, relaxing inwardly to that silence where if we listen deeply in the quiet, we begin to attune to something that is connected to our breath and that is the deepest of relaxation. The mind, when it gets going, it gets tight and we shallow breathe. And I find one of the simplest ways to get into a kind of a spiritual focus, and I use that from the standpoint of referencing that we are all spiritual, that's what we come from, that's what we truly are, but to get more attuned to it, then if we start deep breathing, the mind starts letting go. And deep breathing, just getting in touch with our breath. Sometimes we're tense and anxious, the mind's going, and deep breathing will begin to slow down the mind. And then you can begin to tune in to that place that's beyond the mind.
Yes, when you start being present to your breathing and pay attention to your breathing, then everything that was bugging you and causing you to be upset sort of melts away if you allow it, if you just pay attention to your breathing. So that is absolutely right on, and that does reconnect you to your spirit, and we are source, and when we are not being that, boy, do we know it.
Yeah.
So does everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very difficult, like I said, to keep regenerating moment to moment to moment to moment.
Well, it depends
especially
kind of
when
on
you have
what
monkey
you,
mind.
It kind of depends on what you want. You know, if people would stop to consider, well, what do I want here? Do I want to be tense? Do I want... I've got to have this no matter what, or it's got to be, or I'm late, or all the things we all deal with, you know, just with modern life. But, you know, it's like the more you say, well, what do I want? I want love. I want joy. I want wisdom. I want, you know, relaxation. I want health. You know, to get attuned to the fact, well, that's really what I want more than I want getting all revved up. I mean, I have to monitor it all the time because I'm one of these people in my own nature who does many things well. In other words, I have that facility to do it and be very stimulated by it, very creative in it, and bring things to completion is very important to me. But I also have to watch that I overcreate. And if I overcreate through my creativity, with it's sort of a sense of expansion, and in that, when I'm in that state of expansion, I might volunteer myself to more things that when I...
Hello,
actually,
Avon.
Hold on just a second. That was sort of getting my attention. Hold
yes.
on, let me just... I'm sorry.
We're all on a radio show. Love it.
I have this lovely street that is just wonderful, and it seems to invite people to ask you to buy things far too often.
That sounded like Avon calling me.
It did.
That's very funny. Wow.
But I was just getting to the point of where people creating an intention in your day when you wake up is the beginning of a new day, a new God of the day, the new God being you, and just what do I want this day? And set a sort of internal template of how you want the day to flow in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It could be through qualities. I want this to be a day where no matter what happens, I am feeling so much love within me for myself and for everyone that whatever it is, it's going to be fine. All will be well.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're creative beings, so anything you want, it's sort of like having your own wish list. And I find that extraordinary. I often get up at 4 or 5 to go to work in the morning. And on my way to work, and as I'm parking my car and driving into the set, I do this. And I'm often amazed at the end of the day when I've actually forgotten what I'd done in the morning, that the day has gone very, very similarly to how I laid it out.
Yes.
So intention is also another big key.
Yes.
What do you want? And place the intention. And if you want, you know this one so well, that when the student is willing, the teacher appears.
Mm-hmm.
If what we want is a spiritual life, if what we want is to know our own souls, and to know ourselves as God, my goodness, we're opening a door to the most wondrous journey. And it is filled with adventures and mysteries. And every day I have to say, I want to know God more. Show me more God today in me and in others. And just go on the journey of the day. I think people make spirituality often very complicated. My mother used to say, honey, it's too complicated. I don't know how to meditate. And I'd say, well, Mom, maybe just sit and breathe. And that was her meditation. That was the one she grew into.
Mm-hmm.
And now John Roger has many that he offers that are magnificent, that attune you to your own soul through various meditations, through guided meditations. They're even in his books. They're the most powerful ones I've ever experienced.
Hmm. Well, I finally started to set a timer for 15 minutes a day, sit down, clear my mind, because, you know, we all have monkey mind, and I'm so busy doing so many, many different things like you are that I do need to just sit down and quiet my mind and focus on my breathing. And I find that when I do that, miraculous divine connections start happening all over the place for whatever it is that I'm wanting in my life at that moment. And what I always want is always more God. That's what I want, and to be able to express more of that which I am and that which we are, and to be able to communicate more of what I meant to be here to communicate in a fun and a powerful, entertaining way that will draw people near rather than send them away. And it's a very fine line when you start talking about spirituality, but I believe that people are becoming more and more accustomed to it now. I find that when I'm in the ladies' room these days, people are talking about The Secret, and I'm in the other stall going, yeah, right on, this is so great. Or I'm trying on clothes in the dressing room, and the ladies are talking about The Secret or talking about spirituality or of some nature. And I just cannot tell you how much I love that, because there was a time where that just wouldn't happen, or maybe I'm just moving circles now, but... I do feel there is a gathering taking place, and we have Fire the Grid. Have you heard about that yet, Lee?
I have the emails on it. I haven't read it yet, but
oh,
I'm
my
looking
goodness.
Forward to it.
Oh, the story behind that is so incredible, And I recently was very passionately driven to write a short story about something that happened in my life involving almost drowning. And then I read the story behind Fire the Grid, which was very much like that. It was a near-death experience for this woman and her son, and it involved water. And when you read the story, you're just going to be amazed. And for the entire planet to be awake at the same time for 1 hour meditating towards healing the planet, not that there's anything wrong with it, but preserving it.
I think the most important thing that will heal the planet is the gradual extension as each one of us begins to awaken more.
Yes.
And, of course, it's an et cetera process. It's the eternally traveling consciousness. It's not ever a full destination. It's an awakening, ING, and it's how we're doing that every day. And as we reach to others with our loving, our kindness, our forgiveness, the simple things, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
we just gradually, we help the planet by being good, doing good, learning good, sharing good, serving the good, overcoming the things that are petty in ourselves to the best of our ability as a form of discipline, and extend the graciousness in simple ways. That these are the ways that human to human, and then there are these master teachers who come who are way beyond in terms of where we have yet come, but they're here to give from their just inutterable love.
Mm-hmm.
To reach out a hand and turn on our switch,
mm-hmm.
The way the Muktanandas did, the way other teachers have, the way John Roger does constantly. It's humans that are going to lift through the loving. I mean, I learned years ago I was raised in government, and I watched it in my family. I thought one day my little personal revelation was, yes, you can change legislation, and it's not to demean it by any means, but the truest revolution is the human into the human's divinity, into the greatest love. And one by one, humans touching to each other, as you said, the gathering. And you'd also said earlier that, you know, very, very few choose. And what I'm seeing is something different. I'm seeing more and more and more and more people choosing.
People hear the call, but some don't answer the call, but more and more people are, and that's what I'm feeling also.
Yes, no, I think more and more people are answering the call.
Yes.
And my frame of reference really is, you know, I started catching on to this in the 60s and went for it hook, line, and sinker with all my passion and all my innocence and all my just commitment and my personal form of integrity. And I openly shared it, and I went through quite a trial by fire, because in the 60s and 70s, although you would think that was a time where, yes, you had hippies and you had the Beatles going to Maharishi and so forth to that extent, but boy, by the 70s and into the 80s, I was sort of referred to as kind of a freak, if you will. Even that word was applied.
Right.
But there were more than enough people out there doing it, so the seeding was going on, and now it's just a harvest.
Yes.
I see just more and more and more. Now it's not outside the collective awareness to discuss yoga as if you were discussing your coffee of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out, but then it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outside of the collective to see a massive group of people respond to something like a secret or what the bleep or
yes.
More and more and more of this is now the secret. The only thing I feel about the secret, and I think the secret is its level of opening people to the awareness that the universe is very responsive to us, that we are creators.
Yeah.
But what to me it does not address that I think is significant. If you're not extremely aware with the secret, in my opinion, you can create unnecessary results, because if you don't say for the highest good,
right,
then you're stuck in the magnetic light, because the secret's talking about the magnetic light. It's not talking about the light that is for the highest good of all concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you create using the secret, you're going to be held responsible for it.
Yes.
And if you're going after a lot of materialism, you better be ready to be responsible. But if you say, look, I'd like that new Rolls or in that new house, nothing's wrong with it. But one might be better served to say, I would like all that in great detail if it's for my highest good.
Yes.
then that which is God within us, which is good within us, takes note that it will be given if it's for our highest good, going into our highest God, rather than creating unnecessary karma.
Got it. That was absolutely flawlessly said.
And so I think that would be my suggestion on things like The Secret is, my two cents worth would be, okay, go for anything you want, but God's doing this, and allow God to participate and say, God, if this is for my highest good, you know, give it to me.
Yes, well, they are doing a sequel, and I sure hope they add that part to it.
Well, I think it would be just wisdom.
Yes.
And but, you know, the greater wisdom's, I mean, for me, just the fact that it's come out and that there's this response, whether it's more for material things or not, doesn't matter, is that people are learning that there is this relationship.
Yes, and there is a law of attraction that's just as vital as the law of gravity. And
well, that same law of attraction, to me, applies most exquisitely to God. It's like, if you keep your eyes high, no matter what's going on, just keep returning like a practice, like a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Keep returning to however you get yourself into higher altitude so you can view what's going on in your life that's difficult from a place that gives you altitude, mm-hmm. which affects immediately your attitude and how you handle it. And if you can just keep practicing that, then that keeps you in the law of attraction to the higher spiritual energies, because they'll be attracted to you.
Yes, and I guess that's where the term take the high road comes from.
Well, it does sound that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And there are, you know, it's all a matter of where a person is at in their life at the time they see a movie like The Secret or What the Bleep Do We Know. And I feel that, and I've had a lot of the teachers from The Secret on my show, and we all have a lot of different opinions. And I know that The Secret doesn't talk a whole lot about God and a whole lot about spirituality. And I'm just wondering if part of that was to speak to the uninitiated to get them at least interested in it enough to start pursuing a deeper meaning. And if that is something that has affected people, then I feel that it worked brilliantly to get people's attention, so they will go searching for a deeper meaning. But I agree with you completely that everything must be for the highest good of all, for the highest good of all concerned, not just the highest good of you, but the highest good of all concerned. And that is the way that I don't really ask for anything. I just give thanks for what I know to be what is coming to me and what I have.
You know, that's such a beautiful thing, what you just said, because I was listening to a sharing of John Morton's yesterday, who, as you know, is works very deeply and closely as a teacher with John Roger.
Mm.
And one of the things John was saying in a sharing was that, you know, that the greatest thing you can do is praise God. One of the greatest things you can do is praise God. And the way it might be to praise God is just simply to say thank you. Just thank you for everything I have. It may not be all that I want, but I'm grateful for what I do have. And then, really, when you tune into the praise and the gratitude, you end up saying something like what you just said. You really don't end up asking for too much because you're attuned to the source that's the greatest abundance, and you're full.
Yes.
You're full of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You take yourself to that place. I don't suggest that, you know, when you start the process, always that we feel like praising or we don't even feel grateful. But it's an attitude where you turn yourself to that higher place where you say, I do know that I am grateful for things. I do know that there are things that I'm grateful for. And make them simple. Maybe you're not crippled and you can say, I'm walking on two legs.
Oh, there's many days that I just give thanks for my eyes and that I can see the beauty around me, and my feet work and my toes work and my voice works, and there are things that I'm able to do that other people can't, and I'm just so incredibly blessed that I, before I get out of bed, my left foot is thank and my right foot is you, and I'm in tears before I get out of bed.
Aww.
And I am just so grateful for the day, and I intend my day before I go to sleep on a sheet of paper.
Uh-huh.
And I write down every single feeling I want to have, and the events unfold as they will according to the feelings that I want to have, and what the feelings I want to have is more love, more God, express and accept and receive all of that. And it just shows up in the most beautiful ways, like you said, when you get to the set at the end of the day, you forgot that you even intended your day by the end of the day, and you see that it all took place.
Mm-hmm.
It's miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's quite natural, but miraculous. which is a way to describe something to people who aren't accustomed to what really the truth is, what really is natural. What really is natural is for us to have single thing that we want in our life, because abundance is our birthright, and abundance is more than just finances or material things. Abundance is health, abundance is love, abundance is self-acceptance. It's all those wonderful things that are not money or monetary.
Well, one of the nice things too that I just love your word natural, because I think that it's correct that natural is to have a relationship with the divine, to have a relationship with God. I mean, one of the ways I say it is, God's my partner.
Yeah.
And I partner with God. I don't want to live this life without God as my conscious partner. I mean, I'm going to live my life regardless because I'm here, but mm-hmm. I want to be in awareness and awakeness that there is this divine energy that is present. You know, John Roger once said, God never moves. We're the ones that move.
Mm-hmm.
And God's always there. And in this, just, again, what you said, this complete abundance, if we can come into alignment with it so that we're moving in alignment with it, then all we do is receive that energy, that abundance. They
yeah.
keep going back to the abundance because it's
mm-hmm.
correct, as you said, that God's the source of all abundance. And it's just, it's a journey, though. I share with a lot of people when I look at my own life that it's been very colorful, it's been very challenged, it's been very blessed, and it's been gradual. Because
yes.
my experiences, not all of which were ones that I intended, they came anyway, and what they were my strengtheners, they were my testers sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But
they,
mostly
you,
what I would say is that because the one thing I didn't waver on is I didn't waver on my commitment to a spiritual relationship. Mm-hmm. Everything else happened, you know, I mean, that could happen
yes.
for me, but that I didn't waver on.
Yes. Well,
so I look back with, you know, enough vision at this point, I could say, wow, that all strengthened me for what's coming next.
Absolutely, and everything does. I'm in the process of writing some memoirs about, you know, the things that happened in my own life, the things that I've endured and prevailed over and encountered. I have spun them into gold only because I understand that when we are in pain, once we realize, we don't have to do anything, but once we realize, R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S, that there is a gift there, and you go looking for that gift, and when you find that gift, the pain just falls away. And you are so blessed, and you've got wisdom in its place. And what my business partner Alex and I do, we co-created quantum hypnotherapy, and the whole thing that's designed to do is to bring an individual back to their divinity under hypnosis through intuitive life coaching. And we do that in 2 hours, and the results are so astounding that, you know, it gives us so much energy that we work 12 hours in a row, 2 days in a row without a dinner break, and we're so high by the time we were finished that it took 3 hours to unwind. And it's just from the love that we're giving and getting from these people we work with quantum hypnotherapy, that it's amazing. And it is definitely designed to bring them back to their divinity, to their true nature, to their true self. And it works brilliantly, and we just feel very, very blessed that we get to do it. So
wonderful.
Yeah, and I believe that, I hope that you'll be interviewing us on Spiritually Speaking on July 24th. So everybody, you know, find out what station that is on locally in Los Angeles. It's on, I believe it's on Adelphia or Time Warner Cable. I'll send out an email about that to our listeners anyway. But I want to thank you so, so much, Lee, for being my guest tonight. This has been one of the most stimulating conversations and my favorite topic, most definitely. And because I didn't do this in the opening, because I didn't want to embarrass you by praising you too much, but because you are a person first, of course, you are not what you do, you are who you are. I just want to say in closing that you have appeared in over 100 hours of television, such as Peyton Place Dallas, CBS award-winning Picket Fences, and you won an Emmy, and you've starred in 8 movies of the week, and you've earned high acclaim as an Emmy award-winning actress and international personality, and you also are very comfortable on a film set as much as you are at a podium speaking on behalf of the Institute for Individual and World Peace. And I want to thank you for doing all those wonderful things and for blessing our world the way that you do and being the vessel that you are, and just for for, you know, your magnificence and for being a role model, because when you are given a celebrity status, you are a role model, and I'm just extremely proud of you, not having met you yet, I mean, just of your accomplishments and from what I know of your bio and how you've raised your son Patrick and how you live your life. I just want to thank you for that, because I'm inspired by it. And, you know, we all need a role model and a guide to help us get to our next place. And
you're doing a wonderful service. Thanks. See, you're one of those who's answering the call for people to hear us, to share with us, to go, oh, gosh, that's something I think or want or whatever, and you're putting it out there, and that passion is exactly what needs to be done, or people who love God in the way you do and love people the way you do and want to share it. So
absolutely, yes.
Bless you for all gifts you're giving.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. I do appreciate it, and I'm grinning so big it's hard to talk. so I'll give you Lee Taylor Young's website again. That's www.lty.com. Please check it out. And also Google John Roger and check out what John is doing. I know many of you out there have heard of him and don't live in a cave like I think I probably did, but I'm so happy to be out of my cave and knowing who John Roger is now. I want to thank all of our listeners this evening. Thank you, Don Newsom, for your wonderful heart and for being a person who just really, really put your passion out there in the world, and you have BBS Radio, and you really are walking your talk. And thank you again for that. And thank
Honey, may I say one more thing?
Yes, you may.
What they'd want to Google around John Roger would be www.msia.org. O-R-G.
Yes,
Amazon that's Mother it. S-I-A.
Yes.
That's how you'd find him.
MSIA.org.
Right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful site, and I didn't have that right in front of me, so thank you for interjecting that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lee. I can't wait to meet you. And you had something else you wanted to say?
No, I wanted to thank you, and I'll see you soon.
Oh, you will, and I want to tell everybody, take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, darling.
This is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is Jeff from Electron Love Theory, and you're listening to BBS Radio. You can hear Electron Love Theory's new album, Colors of the Galaxy, right here. Check it out further on our website, which is lovetheory.com. We're on iTunes or CD Baby. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet, in the galaxy, and in the universe.
Hi, This is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Gray Matter Tunes and Matters of the Heart, as well as all of our singles, including Shine a Light and Love is the Answer, at most major download sites. And of course, you can hear them on BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network in the world. Peace and love.